Good morning and happy Sabbath. Thank you for that very nice message in song. You know, Charlotte always inspires me, you know. And thank you for that nice introduction. Yeah. We will know each other soon. Okay. So this morning, I don't have PowerPoint presentation. I don't know how to do that. Don't tell anybody. Yeah. But please open your Bible. I am very traditional. Open your Bible in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Okay. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Shall we pause for a while for a word of prayer? Our most gracious and kind Heavenly Master, thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you for all the blessings. This morning, Lord, as we study about these texts, help us so that the message will be inculcated in our hearts and minds so that we can apply them in our daily Christian living. God, our Father, hide me at the back of thy cross so that the congregation will see you and not me, my weaknesses nor my strength. And please, Lord, continue to bless us, continue to protect us from all harms and dangers. In the loving name of our Lord Jesus, we ask for your forgiveness from all our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our study today is about courage in times of crisis, or maybe antidote to discouragement. If today you are experiencing trials, if today there's trouble in front of you, if today you were so discouraged, this message is for you. You know, crisis just comes when we least expect them. Just a few weeks ago, somebody emailed me from the Philippines. She was a mom. She told me, you know, Rachel, do you remember your schoolmate in high school? Oh yeah, I remember that boy. He is very active in church. She told me, we sent him in college. He was a product of an Adventist institution. But after he graduated from college, suddenly he came home and told us, hey, I abandoned the church. I am now a free thinker. I believe in the law of physics. And my religion is love. Crisis. The mom is like crying, why? Why did it happen? We spent a lot of money for my child to know about God, to know more about him, and now he abandoned the church. It's crisis. Or maybe one time your doctor called you for your annual physical checkup, and then the result came back, and the numbers are not good. And then your doctor informed you that, I'm sorry to tell you, but you have an incurable disease. We can treat you, but it's incurable. We can delay the progression of the disease, but it's incurable. Crisis, health crisis. Or marriage crisis. Your husband of 25 years will tell you one morning, sorry, but I need to tell this to you. I want a divorce. You know, isn't that a crisis that sometimes it's so hard to bear? But this morning, I'm not going to preach to you about discouragement, but rather I would preach about encouragement. You know, I remember my own crisis. 3 years ago, my father died. Yes, I came here as a missionary, but at the same time, I came here to work, to provide better life for my family. You know, I came from a very poor background. But sad to say, just the night after we buried my father-in-law, I received a call from the Philippines. They informed me that my father died. Imagine that, the pain that I came here. I suffered homesickness so that I can work, so that I can provide better life for them, for my father to be taken at an untimely. I was so devastated. I was so hurt. For the first time in my life, I asked God why. And also, for several years, I preached to a lot of funerals. I gave encouraging words to a number of people. I know where to find the text with the illustrations to back it up, to make it more powerful, to be the comfort in their grief. But unfortunately, when my father died, I could not remember. I was so confused. I could not remember my Bible. So, you see how hurting it is. Crisis. But what I'm telling you is that we are going to dwell about that. We are going to dwell about discouragement, because if Satan is here, so big, but our God is bigger and more powerful than him. Let's go back to the text. Sorry, I'm just a little bit emotional, you know. That is always an emotional thing for us. Okay, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. The one who wrote this verse is none other than Isaiah. And he, oh, there is a PowerPoint presentation. Thank you so much. Thank you. See? In the year that King Uzziah died, the one speaking here is Isaiah. Don't confuse that. Uzziah is the king, Isaiah is the author, and the one who is relating his own experience. He was so young when he was called to the prophetic mission. And during that time, Judah, the country where God asked him to go, is facing two dangers. First is the danger from within, and the other one is the dangers from without. Danger from within. Judah had forsaken the Lord, and he has become an apostate nation. Materialism, greed, and violence were widespread among the society, from priest to the people. And religion has become a mere form or an empty ritual. It is to this nation that Isaiah was destined to go, to call them back to God, back to repentance, back to the Bible, back to God's ways. And it's so hard, you know, it's so hard. If you were a minister and you were asked, okay, revive that people, and you see those people, you know, materialistic, they are not mindful of religion anymore, what will you do? And then the conference will expect number of baptism. Huh? It's hard. So you see, this man, Isaiah, was so discouraged. And not only that, Judah was not only challenged by the dangers from within, but also the dangers from without. Here, in 745 BC, the king of the Assyrians, who was known to be the great terror to the world, King Tiglath-Pileser III. Do you know that this king had led a series of campaigns that led to the conquest of Eastern Asia? And it's only a matter of time since Judah will become its next victim. And during this time of uncertainty, King Uzziah died. Do you know, if you will look on 2 Chronicles, you will see how this King Uzziah ruled with discretion. That in his year, his rulership marked economic success and prosperity. So the people turned to him for comfort, for help. They knew in their hearts that of all men, this is the king that will stop the aggression of the Assyrians. But in the midst of the campaign against the Assyrians, their king suddenly died and their hope died with him. It's hard. Uncertain. People are uncertain. They are like talking to one another. What will happen to us now? Are we going to be invaded? Where is God? And then, so Isaiah went into the temple. He was so discouraged, very uncertain about his future. The task, the tremendous task on his shoulders were too heavy. So he went into the temple and there he prayed. And while he is praying, the veil separating the holy place from the most holy place were drawn before him. And what he sees is a magnificent vision of the Lord. You know, if you are going to study the Bible, this should not be. This is so puzzling because I wonder why God allowed himself to be seen by Isaiah, especially in the temple, especially in the most holy place. Do you know that the most high priest is only the one permitted to see God in his glory in the most holy place? And that is only done once a year during the Day of Atonement. But why? Why did God allow himself to be seen by Isaiah? And it is in a magnificent way. Here, in the year that King Uzziah died, in the year that help from men is gone, in the year that calamity is approaching, I saw the Lord. Dear friends, in your crisis, in your trials, look unto God. You will see the Lord if you will look unto Him. Okay, so why did God allow Himself to be seen by Isaiah? You know, you are inspiring me with your amen. In the Philippines and even there in New Jersey, when I first came, you know, I speak long. I speak for 3 hours if you want. But of course, I don't want to detain you for longer than 30 minutes maybe because I'm afraid I won't be invited to speak again. Yeah, but you encourage me with your amen. So don't blame me if we will exceed the time. Okay, so why did God allow himself to be seen by Isaiah? It's a reminder that you are not alone. God said, "Lo, I am with you always unto the end of age." You're not alone. You're not alone in carrying your burdens. You're not alone in your grief. You're not alone in your trials. And also, I wrote several texts here. Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yeah, I will help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand." What a good God we have. What a gracious God we have. What a great God we have. That we are not alone in all our problems, in all our sorrows, in all our discouragement. And let me read to you a poem. This is very inspirational. "Footprints in the Sand." One night, a man had a dream. He dreamt he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed 2 sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only 1 set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him and he questioned the Lord. "Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, but I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only 1 set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me." The Lord replied, "My son, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you during your times of trial and sufferings. When you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. You're not alone, you know? In my time of grief, all things I can do is to praise God because I've realized that I'm not alone. You're not alone. And there is another verse. It says that, can a mother forget his child who is still, you know, nursing child? Though they may forget, though the mothers forget their suckling child, I will never forget you, says the Lord God of hosts. So you are not alone. First, Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, in the year that when hope from men is gone, in the year that calamity is approaching, Isaiah have seen the Lord, meaning you are not alone. And second one, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. What is meant by that? Meaning the Lord is still in control of everything. He is sitting on his throne. When you are so uncertain of what to do with your life, just look unto God and you will see him sitting on his throne. He is in charge. You don't need to worry about your problems. You know, worrying makes you 10 years older. Yeah. You know, if you want your skin not to have, you know, lots of wrinkles, you know, I know we age. It's natural. But a Christian whose heart is in tune with God will prevent those, you know, you will still look young, even though you're 90, you know, because there is a radiance from within, you know. A true Christian should not worry because they know that God is in charge. So you don't need to worry, right? God is still sitting on his throne. He is in charge of everything. He is still in control. Look, you are 2 months behind the mortgage, so you are going to lose the house. So your hair is like getting hair, getting gray because of, you know, you're afraid for foreclosure. But lay it at God's feet, you know? Focus on God. Pray, and then you will see that you don't need to worry about that because God is in control of everything. You know, the psalmist say, I have been young and now am old, yet I have never seen a righteous man forsaken or beg for bread. You know? Yes. Let's say you lost your house. Let's say you will lose your house, but the Lord will not allow you to be homeless. God is still in charge. Don't worry about that. Okay. So in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. The Lord reminded Isaiah that he is not alone. He is sitting on his throne, meaning he is still in control of everything. High and lifted up. God is higher than our problem. God is bigger than our burdens. Can you say amen for that? Amen. You know, kids always sing this. My God is so great, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. It seems that my voice, you know, whenever I speak, maybe because in the Philippines, sometimes we don't have microphone. And the church were open, not this one. So you have to compete with the wind in order for you to be heard, you know. But our God is so great. He is strong. He is strong and so mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do. Sometimes if we have problem, we are looking at that problem, and that problem will become bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger in our sight until it will overwhelm us, right? But if you will turn your eyes upon God, if you will see him in his glory, you will see that your problem will be smaller compared to the bigness of our God, right? It is so glorious. This vision, Isaiah's vision, is so glorious. He saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. It's a big vision of God, a great God. But for me, my friends, nothing is more greater, nothing is more glorious than that big God whom Isaiah saw. Is the same God who left the adoration of the angels, who took human form, and who he walked the lonely road of Calvary to save sinners of all ages. He carried the burden of sins on his back because he loves you and me. Do you think God will forsake you if he loves you? That despite of his greatness, he took the time to become human himself so that we will be saved from sin. Okay. First, a reminder that he is not alone. Second, God is higher, bigger than our problem. Third, God is in control of everything. And the third point, where did Isaiah find courage? When he went into the temple. To what? To pray and to meditate. So my dear friends, we need a prayerful life. After I graduated from college, 2006, I went to a certain minister. I called him High Caliber. He is very good in preaching. Old and young, like him. We like him so much. When he was the speaker, people plucked the church. That there are people even outside the church to hear him preach. And there were three microphones here. Because, you know, he is already in his 60s, so the voice has become a little bit soft. So he needs three microphones in order for him to be heard even outside. So I asked him one time, Pastor, can you advise me what to do in order for me to be strong too, like you? And then you know what he told me? Do you have a prayerful life? Are you always spending your time praying? You know, that prayer is a source of power. More prayer, more power. Less prayer, less power. And he told me this quotation, although this is a little bit redundant. You know, we Filipinos, we have our own style of speaking in English. He said, the longer you are when you are kneeling down, the stronger you are when you are standing up. The shorter you are when you are kneeling down, the weaker you are when you are standing up. See? More prayer, more power, so we need to pray more. Huh? We need to pray more because prayer is an antidote to discouragement. Prayer is an antidote to fear. Prayer is an antidote to bewilderment. Prayer lifts us up to God. And God is only a prayer away. Yeah? Like if you want to talk to President Donald Trump, maybe you will, first you will give a handwritten, you know, request to the people before you can reach him. And maybe it takes years before you will be accepted in his presence. But our God, the God of the universe, we don't need that. We just only have to close our eyes and pray earnestly. And all our sorrows, all the things that is happening in here will be brought to his attention. So we just have to pray. Okay. In the year that King Uzziah died, in the year that help from men is gone, in the year that calamity is approaching, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, meaning he is still in control, and he is higher, he is bigger than our problems. And the last one, the last point, I told you I won't hold you very long today. Maybe next time. Okay, let's go back to my illustration of how I deal with my grief. You see, after my father died, whenever I see the Bible, I remembered him. Because, you know, he is the first one who taught me how to read the Bible and how to trust in God. So every time I opened my Bible, the memories were too painful to relive. And every time I see a guitar, because my father was a good guitarist, he always plays guitar in church. Whenever I see the guitar, you know, I could not stop crying. And I felt pain in here. At first, I thought that I had a heart attack, you know. You know, I lost a lot of weight. That's the good thing with grieving. You don't need to exercise, you know. You don't need to go to the gym and pay money. You just have to grieve and cry and not eat. And then you will lose weight, you know. You see, my clothes is swimming. Yeah, that. So whenever I see my Bible, I remembered my dad. Whenever I see the guitar, whenever I hear sermon, whenever I hear religious music, you know, the memories is too painful for me. So I pray this prayer to God. Lord, please allow me to have a vacation. I'm not going to read my Bible anymore. I won't listen to godly music anymore. Please, I hope you understand. Dear friends, my brothers and sisters, I'm not proud about that. I am not asking you to do the same, you know. But during the time of my grief, I believe that the good Lord understands my predicament. I know that the good Lord understands my pain. And lastly, I told God, I won't go to church anymore. But after I uttered that prayer, the next Saturday, my child came to my room. Mama, mama. Is it Sabbath school today? Hi, David. You know, like a little rooster. Yes, it's Sabbath school today, but you have to sleep. It's still too early. No. Look, the sun is rising. Papa, can you cook pancakes and eggs for me? And then, Mama, wake up, Mama. We need to go to church. We're gonna be late. You know, I may be hurting. I may be in pain. I may be grieving, but my heart is still sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And I know that that kind of prompting should not be ignored. So I went to church, and there in the church, I was seated there in that bench outside. And then I realized a sense of peace. Maybe they call it the peace that passeth all understanding. The peace. And then I realized that I'm home. You know, it is vital for us to go to church, especially when we are discouraged. We need to go to church in good times and in bad times. I came to church. Yes, I came to church. And I was, you know, I felt so honored because going to church is a privilege because this is God's house and we are now His guest. That's why don't pray like, Lord, we invite your presence into our midst. That's a wrong prayer of pagans. Because this is God's house. Sabbath is the Lord's day. The church is the Lord's house. So when we are here, we are privileged because we are His guest. And we are here because we listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And that promptings help us to have communion with our Father. So although I'm grieving, I felt so honored, I felt so loved that my Heavenly Father uses even my child to help me come to church. You know, I got better after 3 months. I were able to reconcile to the fact that although my dad died, I have that hope in the kingdom. I started to read my Bible again, and you know that this sermon, the framework of this sermon was built during those times. So I believe that this sermon is very powerful because my experience is in it. You see, after Isaiah saw the Lord in that glorious vision, Isaiah was strengthened and he became one of the best prophets in Judah. Do you know that majority of the encouraging text came from the book of Isaiah? You see that? So, my dear friends, when you are discouraged, just always remember that we have a God. Okay, in closing, we are going to summarize everything. First, when Isaiah saw the Lord, it's a reminder that he is not alone. So my dear friends, you are not alone with your problems. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. You're not alone. Just always remember this, that you are not alone. And even unto the end of age, God will be there for us. Second one, God is higher. God is bigger than our problem. So don't compare him to the problem that you are experiencing right now. Focus your gaze on Jesus. Fix your eyes upon God, and you will see his bigness compared. Your trouble is just a dot compared to his greatness. And the third one, God is still in control. So don't worry about everything, because God is in charge. Fourth, have a prayerful life, because prayer is an antidote to discouragement. And the last one, don't miss church, because in the church, we can see God in his glory. Finally, before I stop speaking, I would like to tell you that the God of Isaiah and our God today is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. God bless you.
That was powerful. Thank you so much.